Thanks very much, Jane. And thank you very much, St. Andrews, my second home, for inviting me back. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Tom Brattle. I spent 6 happy years here straight after university, most of them working for St. Andrews, first as a ministry trainee and then as a children's worker, until Matt came along to do the job a bit better than I could. And so it's a real pleasure to be back here with you this evening. And it's a real pleasure, isn't it, to be opening God's word together. And as we do that, we trust and rely on the power of the Spirit to teach us and to change us. So let's pray for the Spirit to do his work. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love to speak to us, you love to teach us, and you love to shape us more and more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Please would you be at work doing that in each of our hearts this evening. In your name and for your glory, we pray. Amen. Well, let me ask, who can you trust? It's actually quite a hard question in today's culture, isn't it? Who can you really trust? Can you really trust the people you see on TV? Can we really trust the people running our country? Can we really trust the people who look after our money in the banks? Well, the list could go on. I don't want to upset anyone, but we've noticed recently. I don't want to bring up bad politics or anything, but the EU referendum, that was a big deal of trustworthiness, wasn't it? And now, no matter what side you fell on, you'll surely agree that no side really gave us the whole truth, did they? No side gave us the true facts, the true figures. There wasn't really anyone who came out looking trustworthy. Sadly, the same is true of every vote, every election, every newspaper article, every court cross-examination, every celebrity interview. Trustworthiness isn't high in our culture, is it? And so the idea of a faithful and trustworthy God, well, that's a very attractive idea, isn't it? When we're so fed up with not being able to trust anyone or anything, having a God we really can trust is really quite attractive, isn't it? And with this backdrop, the prospect of seeing God prove his faithfulness is really quite exciting, isn't it? I hope you're excited by that. And I hope you'll see that in the passage this evening. If you're not a Christian, if you're just looking into the Christian faith, then I'm really glad you're here. Perhaps you've come along because you've got questions, or perhaps a friend's brought you along. I hope you'll see in our passage this evening that there is evidence that God really is trustworthy. God really is faithful. Well, those of us who are Christians, I hope there is encouragement for us in this passage as well. It's great, isn't it, to have a reminder of how much we can trust God, how faithful he is. And it's important as well to think about what it means for us to follow such a faithful and trustworthy God. Chapter 18 of Exodus is a bit of a kind of transition chapter, really. So if you've been following the series so far, you'll know chapters 1 through to 17, we've seen God prove his faithfulness over and over and over again. Several exciting incidents that show just how trustworthy and capable God is. And chapters 19 through to 40 at the end of the book, they start to deal with the kind of relationship that this faithful God wants to have with his people, the kind of way that God wants us to live in response. And in the middle, we've got chapter 18, which is it's kind of a review, really. And we see the review through the testimony of Moses. Moses has his father-in-law, Jethro, come along. And this is what Moses says. This is Moses' testimony in a nutshell. Moses' testimony is, I follow a faithful God. That's what we'll see as we start to look in this passage. I follow a faithful God. Have a look at verse 8 with me, will you? Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they'd met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Now, if you've been with us following the series through the last few weeks, or if you know the first few chapters of Exodus, you'll probably know the sorts of things that they would have chatted about. They sat down for after-dinner coffee, and Jethro said, "So, tell us your news. Tell us what you've been doing recently." And Moses, well, where do you think he would have started? Probably with the 10 plagues. Do you remember the 10 plagues? These 10 huge signs that God is more powerful than Pharaoh and more powerful than the supposed gods of Egypt. Culminating, of course, with that 10th plague, the Passover, where God saved his people by a lamb dying instead of them, but the firstborn son of every Egyptian family died in God's judgment. Perhaps they would have talked about that, and then perhaps they would have gone on naturally to talk about what happened the very next day when they were marching out of Egypt, and Pharaoh and his armies were pursuing, and they came to the Red Sea, and they were stuck. And of course, you know the story, God powerfully divided the Red Sea to give them a dry path to walk through on. What an amazing thing to witness, don't you think? And then perhaps the conversation will have moved on to how God continued to show not just that he was capable of saving the people, but capable of sustaining and wanting to be with his people on their journey. Moses would have talked about how just when the people were grumbling for food, food literally rained down from the sky, bread from heaven, and meat blown in on the evening wind. And how the people, they were just about to break into riots because there was no water. And God made water pour out of a rock to feed and water the people. Perhaps they would have talked about how God ensured a victory over the army of the Amalekites. That was last week's chapter, if you were here then. Well, Moses has seen God's faithfulness to his people time after time after time. And I hope if you've been following the series through, you will have been encouraged by that, at seeing week after week, chapter after chapter, God showing his power and his ability to save and his love and his ability to sustain and care for his people, no matter what faces them. But it's not just what Moses said to Jethro that was a testimony to God's faithfulness. If you noticed, it was actually in there in the children's names. If you know your Old Testament history, you'll know lots of Bible names have significance, and perhaps even prophetic significance. Did you notice the children's names? They're there in verse 3. The first child was called Gershom, which means something like foreigner. Moses naming his child in reminder to himself and to his family that he didn't belong among the tribes of Midian. He actually belonged with the people of Israel, with God's people. And then his second son, Eleazar, which means something like God is my helper. Well, it's a gesture of trust in God to do just what the child's name says, to be his helper, to look after him, to care for him. And you can kind of imagine the awkwardness at family gatherings with the in-laws, can't you? So one child's name was a constant reminder that they weren't actually part of the tribe, that they were sort of outsiders in the tribe. And the other child's name was a constant reminder that this family believed in a totally different God to all the other people in Midian. It must have made for slightly difficult Christmas dinners, don't you think? But when looking back, Moses, and probably his children as well, I would have thought, can see the significance of their names and how God acted faithfully, just like the names predicted. Moses' insistence on sticking with Israel and with Israel's God has paid off. It's paid off dividends, hasn't it? Moses follows a faithful God. How are you at making big decisions? Big purchasing decisions. How do you decide? I had to make a big decision the other day. I had to decide what phone I was going to have for the next couple of years. That's a surprisingly big decision, isn't it? Because this item lives in your pocket, constantly with you, pretty much, for up to 2 years while you're in a contract. Well, here it is. here's my new phone. I don't want to, you know, show it around too much or anything like that. In case you're wondering, I chose Samsung. It's by far the best. And I'll tell you why I chose Samsung. I chose Samsung because I've tried all sorts of phone makes over the years that I've had phones. And Samsung is the make that has never let me down. So I tried other ones and I thought, they're all right. Break a bit too quickly. Don't look so good. Get slow really quickly. Samsung I've always been pleased with, so I went straight for them. My future choice was based on my past experience. Well, what if I'd had no past experience? Well, I would have looked to somebody who did. I would have gone to the Vodafone shop and asked my friend Stroudy probably for his advice, as I'm sure a number of you here have done. Well, here we have Moses, who has all the experience he needs in order to make the right choice about who to follow. He has stories of his ancestors and how God has sustained and cared for them. And now he has bucket loads of his own experience. He knows without a doubt that God is the right God to follow because he follows a faithful God. Well, for us, well, we've got just as much evidence in a way, haven't we? We've got the stories of the Bible. We've got far more stories, in fact, than Moses had of his ancestors. We have the Old and the New Testament showing again and again God's faithfulness. And if we're Christians, we all have our own stories, don't we? Of how God has proved himself worth following to each of us on an individual level. What do we do with all this? Well, we let it strengthen our trust in God. Why not over this long summer holiday, why not spend some time going back over the first few chapters of Exodus and maybe making a list of all the ways God showed his power and his faithfulness to his people? Or why not at the same time go back over your own life and make a list again of how God has shown time and time again his faithfulness to you? I'm sure you'll find that it is a really encouraging exercise. No matter how hard our lives have been, we'll all have stories of how God has proved himself worth following. And we can also use this testimony to God's faithfulness that we each individually have to show others how good God is. Have a look, for example, at Jethro's reaction. Come with me to verse 11. After all that Moses has said to him, Jethro announces, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who treated Israel arrogantly. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods." This is, Jethro is, as verse 1 tells us, Jethro is the priest of Midian, so probably the most senior religious figure in the tribe. And it's a tribe who worships a totally different god. And here he is, completely convinced that he's actually been following the wrong god before all this time, and that Moses is God, the God of Israel, our God, is the one true God and the God who is worth following. And so when we get to the very next verse, verse 12, we find Jethro worshipping God, bringing a sacrifice along with the elders of Israel. What a brilliant story of transformation, don't you think? What a great story. And the exciting thing is God still does that very same work of transformation day after day now. In this day and age, in this culture, in this country, in this city, in this community. And he does it through stories of his faithfulness. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't decided whether to follow Jesus or not, well, why don't you ask either one of the leaders here or ask a friend who brought you, ask them what their stories are of God's faithfulness. Ask them why they trust in God. What has convinced them to put their trust in God? And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, why not think about how you can tell your story of trust in God, how you can tell your story of God's faithfulness? Have a think about how you can tell it and look out for opportunities to tell your story, because these stories change lives by God's grace. So that's Moses' testimony, that he follows a faithful God, and by God's grace, Jethro is transformed by that testimony. And Jethro, well, he's immediately helpful as we kind of move on to the second half of the passage. Jethro starts to try and help Moses to continue teaching the people about God's faithfulness. So Moses' testimony that I follow a faithful God. Here's Jethro's advice. Prepare the people to follow their faithful God. As we get to the second half of the passage, we see Moses struggling with this great burden of having to judge between all the people and all their little disputes and arguments. And the reason is quite clear, especially if we flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Here's what Moses says about his struggle there. At that time I said to you, you are too heavy a burden for me to carry alone. Why? The Lord your God has increased your numbers, so that today you are as numerous as the stars in the sky. May the Lord, the God of your ancestors, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. It's a great problem to have, isn't it? The problem is that God is just too faithful. God has promised to grow his people, and here he is doing it. And Moses is struggling because there are just too many people, because God has been so faithful to his promise. And now Moses needs a plan to cope with God's continuing and increasing faithfulness. And here is where Jethro's advice fits in really well. Now, we shouldn't imagine, when we talk about judging, we shouldn't imagine Moses as the sort of the QC with the funny wig on and the funny outfit and the gavel. No, it's more like there's a strange and unique way in which in the nation state of Israel, the civil law, the rules and things that govern the nation, are intertwined very closely with God's word, with what God is teaching his people. And Moses' job is not so much to be a barrister or a judge in the sense we think, but to be to teach the people how God wants them to live. We see that in verses 16 and 20. So Moses teaches the people how God wants them to live. And then in the individual arguments and disputes, he applies that teaching specifically into people's lives. And so we see at stake here is not people's access to a free trial or something like that. At stake, well, it's far more significant, actually. What is at stake here is people's access to teaching from the Word of God and to application from the Word of God. And so Jethro, when he sees how hard Moses is struggling here, he advises Moses to delegate it to people. People who are in charge of thousands, people who are in charge of hundreds, people in charge of fifties, and people in charge of tens. Why is this so important? Well, it's because if God is faithful, then God is worth following. I wonder if you're... are you good with directions? Maybe if you think about your family, there are some people who are quite good at knowing where they're going in the car, and some people maybe not quite so good at knowing where they're going in the car. When I was growing up in my family, we had some adults who were very, very good at directions and some who are not quite so good. And I knew who I wanted to drive me around because some of them I knew I would get there all right, and some of them I knew I would end up in goodness knows where and not knowing where we were. This is, of course, before sat-nav came along, although sat-nav has made us lazy, I think, hasn't it? Well, imagine that you are visiting a family member in a city that you don't know very well, and they want you to go out for lunch with them, and they want you to go out to a place that's on the opposite side of town. You don't know where you're going. Fortunately, this is the kind of family member who does know where they're going. They know the town very well. And they're in the passenger seat of the car with you, and they're directing you which way to go. Well, wouldn't you listen to their directions? If they know where to go and you trust them, you follow them, don't you? Well, the same is absolutely true of God. God, his trustworthiness is absolutely beyond any doubt, isn't it? We've seen that from all that he's done in Exodus 1 to 17. And so he is absolutely worth following. Of course, if we're going to follow him, we need to know how to follow him, don't we? We need to know how best to please him and the way he wants us to live in response. Well, what does it look like today? How do we achieve that today? We don't have Moses with us to tell us the word of God, do we? Well, in God's grace, we have someone far better. We have the Lord Jesus. We have the Lord Jesus, for whom it's not too heavy a burden to carry all the cares of the people on his shoulders. It's not too heavy a burden to be our representative before God. In fact, if we get to the New Testament, John talks about in his first letter, in 1 John chapter 2, he talks about Jesus as our advocate with the Father, the person who pleads our case before God. So we have someone in our corner with God the whole time. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? God himself, in fact, in our corner all the time. So we never have to worry that we're going to have a falling out with God, that something's going to go horribly wrong, that we're going to end up not forgiven anymore, because Jesus is our advocate with the Father. And he also perfectly brings God's message. He perfectly brings God's word to us. In fact, John, again, in his gospel, starts by calling Jesus the Word, because he, more perfectly than any other way, shows us who God is and what God wants to say to us. So we have the Lord Jesus to rely on. But we also actually, just as the Israelites had their officials in charge of thousands, hundreds and tens and fifties, so we have something very similar for us. Perhaps in this church we'd say that Joe and Lawrence and Leon, they're the kind of officials in charge of hundreds or fifties. But also if you're in any kind of leadership in the church, whether that's as a home group leader or a children's group leader or a student leader, or whether you're a parent with children at home, or any other kind of leadership that you can think of, then you're kind of like a leader of tens. And so you're part of God's generous provision to his people to make sure that everyone has access to his word taught and applied. So that's your job description, in a sense, if you're in church leadership, to teach and apply God's word on an individual level. If you're in any of those groups, in a home group or a student group or anything like that, or if you're not and you just want to come and see a church leader, then do use them. Do ask them, especially when the cases are difficult. Do ask them for advice and help in applying God's word to your lives and to your big decisions. Well, let's remember, we follow a faithful God. God has proved his faithfulness over and over again. And now it's only right for us to want to seek how to follow him best. Well, if you're not a Christian, if you're just here investigating, let me urge you again to keep investigating, to have a look into the evidence, to see if God really is as trustworthy as I'm saying. And I think as you look back over Exodus, or as you dive into a bit in the New Testament, perhaps Lawrence or one of the other leaders here can suggest a useful place to start for you. You will find, I believe, that God is just as faithful, just as trustworthy as he promises. And if you are a Christian, well, let me urge you to keep reminding yourself of that truth, just how faithful God is, and keep committing yourself to following him wholeheartedly. Well, let's pray for God's help in doing that, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have shown time and time again not just your power, not just your glory, but your desire to care for your people, your faithfulness to your promises, your faithfulness to your people in saving us and in sustaining us. Please help us to be encouraged as we remember the great stories that we have of your faithfulness, as well as the great stories we've been thinking about this evening. And as we're encouraged, please help us to seek to follow you all the more closely. Thank you for providing ways for us to do that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.